This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
In 25 minutes, we will play a little game for DC Defenders tickets. It'll be called Does Alex Call Know It? Washington Nationals outfielder will be grilled on several questions. You'll have to guess whether or not he knows the answer. Right here on Grant and Danny, there will be DC Defenders tickets on the line. As we welcome you back on The Fan, we appreciate everybody checking us out on this Friday. Beautiful day in D.C., getting ready for a gorgeous weekend, by the way.
It looks awesome.
It's going to be almost 80 degrees in the city tomorrow for Nats baseball at home. Jake Irvin on the hill. Going to be the nicest early season game you've been able to get to over there in a long time.
Seriously, it's usually terrible. Rain in the forecast, starts off at 55, sun goes behind the clouds, it feels like 31.
Totally.
Take me away.
Let's get to our Beltway Blitz, the teams in town we care the most about. There you go. I knew you had
big voice guy. How you doing, man?
We caught him. He was actually had just started eating an Oreo. It's weird because he sits around all day just waiting for this one moment where he gets to talk.
And you know what he was doing right before it was his time to go was basically torching the program that he's currently at. Saying how embarrassing it is and everything.
That's contagious.
They couldn't stay in New York the day after Christmas that time.
That's unbelievable. Let's talk Terps with Jeff Ehrman, the insider who breaks so much news inside Maryland sports. Jeff, I want to know, because I was on a little vacay during the original abhorrent and ridiculous press conference that Maryland fans loved so much at first and now hate, but where were you initially when he came out and like threw Evans under the bus and kind of took the whole program to task? Because it seemed like he was a hero for 72 hours until he wasn't.
It was like nothing I've ever seen, especially to go out there and announce your athletic director is leaving, like on his behalf, who comes out and announces their boss is gone, and then to say all the things about the program, you know, it was framed in a way that he was just trying to get more resources to make Maryland basketball great. Like you said, a lot of people reacted well, as people tend to do, to like a fiery speech. But, you know, my thought was that it was highly unusual to say those things, and you wondered what the actual agenda there was, because even if it's, you know, bringing awareness to that, it's still making the program look bad, you know, and not helping the brand of Maryland basketball. And now that we've seen everything that's transpired since then, it's very hard to believe that that was just some off-the-cuff comments.
Yeah, it looked to me like a guy trying to get a better deal either from them or from somebody else, holding the match, saying, I'll drop it on the pile of kerosene. What do you think happens from here?
I think Kevin Willer goes to Villanova, barring a huge surprise. I think very likely that's been done for 3 to 5 days, if not longer. I think that they might wait maybe till tomorrow to announce it, just because they've clearly been trying to avoid the perception that, you know, he was hired by them during the season. It doesn't look good for them in terms of poaching someone's coach, but it really doesn't look good for him to be, you know, negotiating with another school when you're in the final stages of this breakout season that's been one of the best the school's had in a couple decades. You know, that's not a good look right there either. So, long story short, I would be very surprised if he doesn't go to Villanova.
I do agree that it's not a great look, but I guess my two points, and I want to get your reaction. I'm not arguing as much as asking. Number one, I feel like, didn't he do something similar to come here? Isn't it like, you know, you got with a girl who cheated on her husband and now you're mad that she's cheating on you? Number one.
Yeah.
And then number, like, isn't this just what he does? Isn't this his move? And then number two, I feel like there's no loyalty anymore. Like, college sports, more than professional sports, where there are sometimes 10-year contracts, Jacob Chychrun just agreed to be a Capital for 8 years. This is year to year. There's no contracts for players. They don't really care that much about Maryland necessarily if somebody else comes along with more money and, you know, a better opportunity. So the idea that he would want to leave or that he would leave, I don't have as big a problem with that as most people. I think the whole thing is about each other. It's what I hate right now about college sports, and I think it's kind of gotten ugly. That said, to me, the whole point is the press conference, not that he's leaving. That's just the 1,000th coach to do this.
Yeah, this one was unusual, though. I felt like, you know, maybe you're kind of laying the groundwork there for perception-wise for people to, you know, if you do leave for Villanova, people say, oh, good for him. He got out of that dumpster fire because he just told you how much of a dumpster fire it was. You know, that depends on whether he knew at that point that he was leaving. I don't think he really knew then. I think it was definitely a possibility. And then, you know, in terms of the loyalty, you're right. It's money is increasingly important. You know, it's not everything. There's still some other things that matter, but it's a huge part of the equation now with players, obviously, and a lot of coaches. And the thing is, you know, it's mostly the NCAA's fault. They kicked the can down the road so far to where, you know, maybe if they actually had a system in place and didn't just try to deprive these athletes of any money for all these years, you wouldn't have a total free-for-all where every single player is a free agent every single year. So that's, you know, you watch these teams and you don't even realize that this guy moved there. Half the time now when you look up players, it's not even like, oh, this guy transferred once. You see three schools, you know, on their bio. And then the other thing that the NCAA has royally screwed up is the transfer portal begins too early. So you have it starting before the NCAA tournament when all these schools are playing, and it rushes everything because, you know, players want to figure out where they're going to go, who's going to offer them what. Coaches, if they want a new job, they know they have to get in there fast because the portal is going on and they don't want to lose out on the chance to get players. And so they, like Will Wade and some of these other moves. So, you know, the NCAA is really to blame for most of it, but it has become very professionalized, obviously.
Jeff, super quick, despite the fact that I thought it was a weasel move, self-serving, and totally classless, I actually think largely the criticism that Willard leveled at the school is right. It's a football school that doesn't win that much in football, and they probably do need more resources. What's the right kind of coach to thrive in that environment? Because to me, you get the up-and-comer, he's going to go again, and you'll have another tourist stop by. What's the right answer?
I mean, the right answer, obviously, you want to find somebody who's already proven that they can win at that level. And then a lot of it is just money. You know, how much money do you have to spend on revenue sharing? Some of his complaints were true. You know, Maryland was way behind during the, you know, 2 to 3 years of NIL. You know, he was right. Damon Evans did not do enough to get that going to where they weren't consistently losing on recruits because they didn't have enough money. But I will say, you know, it did improve significantly last year. You see the transfers that they got. You know, those weren't million-dollar guys, but those were still high-ticket guys. And, you know, if you ask some people at Maryland, you know, that who I trust, they'll tell you that, you know, that $4 or $4.5 million that he's going to get out of that, or that the basketball program is likely to get out of that $20 million revenue share, is actually higher than most Big Ten teams. Most of them are pouring more into football. So, you know, he had beef. If you're comparing it to the basketball schools that we're seeing still in the tournament right now that aren't in the Big Ten, but otherwise, you know, I think that they had pretty decent plan for revenue sharing in comparison to their peers.
Jeff, thank you for the insight. Great work over on your site covering Maryland.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks,
you got it, buddy. Let's talk hockey. The Caps lose for the second time in as many games on this road trip last night. This one in regulation out in Minneapolis. John Walton, who was on the call, joins us now. John, before we get to Ovi, let's just start with the game. They had the one-goal lead. Then they give up the power play goal. It's tied. Then kind of a breakdown around the net. They're behind. And I got to be honest, I jumped on a little money line bet on the Capitals before the third period, because what they do is come back and beat teams when they're down a goal. It just wasn't to be last night.
You're right, and I probably would have told you if you'd asked me or shot me a text, I would have said the Wild are 27-0 and the only perfect team.
I did see that stat. But against my better judgment, it was good on good. I just went with the locals.
Yeah, no, that's okay. Hey, listen, it happens. It was, I think, a pretty good rationale over the course of the season, though, because that is what the Capitals do. And the one thing about this road trip, when you look at Winnipeg and Minnesota, there's a lot of good defense played. And I think the thing that's encouraging about what happens 10 games from now when the playoffs start is that this team's really not giving up too much. They made one mistake in the final minute of the second period, and it cost them a point in Winnipeg. And they did it, as you said, Matt Boldy, at the end of the second period last night in the Twin Cities. And it's tough to come back against a team like that because Minnesota doesn't score a lot, but they don't give up a whole lot either. But as Spencer Carberry said after the game, and I really do believe this, it's not great over the course of the two games, but it is great prep for what is next. And getting ready for the postseason, these are the kind of games you're going to have. You play the second best, if not the best team in the league, certainly right in that conversation with Washington and Minnesota, who is a gritty, tough team to play against, who doesn't score a lot, and they have to play defense, kind of like the Caps had to last year. So I think all in all, it wasn't the greatest of road trips, but still a lot of reasons for encouragement, and the schedule lightens up a little bit from here.
Yeah, John, let's talk goal chase here. Just my personal selfishness, could have used one from Ovechkin over the last couple of games for multiple reasons. One, great chance to win those games because he scored meaningful goals, which is my favorite part about this whole chase that's happening right now, by the way. It's not just nothing but frivolous things for a fringe playoff team. It's pivotal goals for maybe the best team in the NHL, which is a blast. But could have used one. Now the math, it's kind of tight. 6 goals, 10 games to go. Just where are we at?
Math is tight, and I think that when you're going at, you know, a 0.6, which is still a lot per game, right, over the course of a season. So, but that's really going to take you down, I think, now inside of the last 3 games of the season. One thing that's a problem, if I am a local here in the DMV and are hoping for my best chance, on April 13th, the Columbus Blue Jackets are here, and that is the last home game of the year. The Caps finish with 2 on the road, so that's from a let's hope this happens at home standpoint, this really getting tough because the last 2 games, April 13 is here against Columbus. April 15 is on Long Island against the Isles in Belmont Park. And then it's unbelievably in Pittsburgh. So that is an unbelievable set of circumstances. It's relatively close to D.C. It's not like we're not playing San Jose or anything out in California. But I think all of us would love to see this happen here. And if it's going to happen this season, it is getting really, really tight. And hopefully there's one of those vintage Ovechkin, hey, the Buffalo Sabres are in and the Sabres don't have a lot to play for and they're at the bottom of the conference and something goes in the first period and then he starts to feel it and then all of a sudden the second one goes in and there's an empty netter. And then all of a sudden you're like, okay, you know what? The math that I just told you would change. But just given the just sheer mathematics of it, if you're looking at the end of the season, I think that's what we're looking at.
John, make sure you're listening to John Walton every single game here on 106.7 The Fan. Caps hockey is the great chase continues, and the Caps wind down a year in which they might just win the President's Trophy, which very few people saw coming. John, thank you, buddy. We appreciate it.
Thanks, bud.
Yeah, but anytime.
Let's talk baseball. Yesterday at Nationals Park, it was the Phillies getting a 6-3 win over the Nats thanks to an explosion in the 10th inning. Danny, the story, though, was Mackenzie Gore, who turned in one of the great starts in home history by a National. I don't mean on opening day.
That's not hyperbolic either. That's all time.
It was the best opening day start by a National at home we've ever seen. But it was one of the great outings. One hit, faced the minimum through 6 innings, punched out 13. To talk about it, our guy Mark Zuckerman of MassinSports.com. So, Mark, what'd you make of Mackenzie?
I mean, guys, that was outstanding. You couldn't have asked for anything better than that from him. You know, he admitted that he'd been looking forward to the start for a while. He'd been planning for it. You saw him execute that plan to perfection, getting ahead of pretty much every hitter. And I mean, the fact that he, not to say he struck out 13, but he got through 6 innings on 93 pitches with all those strikeouts shows just how efficient he was. That's been really one of his bigger issues the last few years. Even when he's really good, he often can't go that deep in a game because he's up to 100 pitches by the 5th inning. So for him to combine the dominance with the efficiency the way that he did, it was just phenomenal. And you just hope now that he can latch onto that and sustain that for any length of time. If he does that on any kind of regular basis, we're talking about one of the best pitchers in the league.
So that was the good, and we'll get to Keber Ruiz here in a moment as well. Mark, I thought that was a big game for him too. But here's the bad. The things that I'm worried about in terms of weaknesses, you saw him yesterday, right? Kind of the middle part of this bullpen, middle of the order, second and third, nobody out, and you end up with that, you know, Bell, Lowe, DeYoung, inning ends with no runs scored there in the bottom of the seventh. I'm worried kind of maybe about some of these middle of the order bats and that part of the bullpen. And we kind of saw both implode a little bit there on opening day.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you looked at the 26-man roster coming into the season, you'd say the top whatever six, seven, eight guys you really like and say, okay, that there's some real talent there, and this is what's going to ultimately help them get back to being a winning team again. But the flip side of that is you do need depth, and you need the guys behind them to be able to deliver in situations, especially late in games, close games against good teams like we saw. So the lack of execution at the plate from some of those guys when just putting the bat on the ball could have given them the lead. And my concern with the bullpen as a whole was probably my biggest concern coming in, but less so the guys at the back end and more so the guys in the middle, the sixth to seventh inning. You saw that perfectly on display yesterday. And so, yes, you need the star power, and I think they're developing that. But what you also need are the complementary players that help you win close games. And, you know, I don't want to read too much into one game. There's a long way to go. But those were definitely, as you pointed out, areas that you were concerned about coming in, and they were exposed at least on day one. You hope it doesn't become a recurring theme.
I think the biggest positive outside of Gore in terms of an individual performance was turned in by Keibert Ruiz, and we will for a moment table him swinging at a pitch that hit him, which was tough with a couple runners in scoring position to start an at-bat. But what a tremendous performance, and this is off of a great spring. I had someone pretty high up with the team tell me they think he had the best spring of anybody at the plate. He had an 830 OPS and three home runs. He's down 17 pounds. He's mentally in a place that they think is better than he's ever been in before, and they really have expectations that he's going to have a pretty big leap from last year. And then he starts the season with two hits before anybody else had one, had a 12-pitch at-bat home run, threw a runner out for God's sake, which I thought he wasn't allowed to do. Like, what a game.
Yeah, outside of swinging at the pitch that hit him on the shin. It didn't just hit him, it hit him on the shin.
Yeah.
That was pretty egregious. But everything else that he did was fantastic. And as you point out, in all aspects of his game, the 12-pitch at-bat, regardless of the result, just the at-bat itself, was great. And what I liked about that one, as opposed to the other one that he did swing at that bad pitch, there were seven straight foul balls, and I believe six of them were in the strike zone. So it's not like he was chasing just to keep himself alive. He was putting the bat on the ball and got himself finally the one he could do something with and crushed it. Throwing out the runner. I know it's Kyle Schwarber, not the fastest guy in the world, but that's still a confidence boost to throw somebody out, throw your first guy out the season. And let's not forget that he called the game with Mackenzie Gore for six innings. They were really on the same page with everything. So all of those things were really important. I wrote about this morning, like, there may be nobody on the team that you say needs a good start to the season more than Keibert Ruiz because of his struggles last year, because of the contract, just because he puts a lot of pressure on himself. He was down about himself last year. Feeling better this spring, performing better, as you said. If he can just get off to a good start, I think it allows him to relax, and maybe he can really become the player they thought they had all along. And doesn't have to be the leader, the star of this team, but just a good, solid, everyday catcher, that's going to make a huge difference for them.
Mark, super quick. In my freshman year of high school, I wrote a paper I worked really hard on. It was about the Odyssey. And my teacher, Ms.
Odyssey, Dennis, it's the company we work
yeah,
for.
About Odysseus, like in his journey home. The whole thing was about the Cyclops. There's a whole theme. Anyway, the point is, I worked really hard on it, and my English teacher, Ms. Denizé, just wrote at the top of the paper, no. Right? I wish I would have had her yesterday when the Nats lineup got turned in and Dylan Cruz was batting eighth and she could have just wrote no and then had to do it again. I'm not okay with that. That's not my thing. I'm not sure what we're trying to do here. Let's not overthink it. Let's not have him hitting eighth, please.
I was surprised by that. I think a lot of people were. He hit second basically all spring, so there was no indication of it. Now, maybe if he was hitting sixth, I could say, okay.
Wheeler's nasty. I get it, right?
Yeah. But eighth behind DeYoung and Ruiz, and you mentioned that big situation with second and third, and I think it was the seventh inning, and they couldn't get the bat on the ball, and maybe Cruz would have done better, maybe not, I don't know. I think it's going to be matchup-based. I think he is going to hit higher up against a lot of guys, but there's maybe this little bit of a, hey, you're still a rookie, you didn't do great last year, you still kind of have to prove it. I don't love that, but we've seen Davey do that with other young players. My guess is, if he performs at all close to what he's supposed to do, it won't be long. We won't see this happen very often, and he'll be at the top of the lineup soon enough. But I do think there's just a little bit of like a, hey, you still kind of have to prove it before we're going to make you an everyday hitter at the top of the lineup.
He did not hit breaking balls at all last year, right? And I, by the way, am first team all get him up to the high end of the order and ask Davey about it pregame on our show, because my point is it makes it a lot harder for him to hit. It makes him a lot harder for him to become what he's supposed to if he's being sandwiched by, you know, Paul DeYoung's 0-for-4 with 4Ks or whatever and Jacob Young than if James Wood's hitting behind him. So move him up and help him out. Get him some fastballs, which he kills. But the breaking stuff he hasn't hit. He hasn't hit in the big league. So I understand both sides of it. But this is making it harder to get him to be good. That's all.
Yeah, I don't disagree with what you're saying, that the logic there. And I think let's see how this goes. Again, I don't think we're going to see this very often. I hope we don't see it very often. But there may be just a little bit of a, hey, show me what you got first before I guarantee you a spot up in the lineup.
Thank you, buddy. Have a great weekend.
All right, thank you, guys.
It'll be beautiful at the ballpark.
Yes,
enjoy
sir.
It. There's Mark Zuckerman. Check him out. Massinsports.com does a great job covering all things Nationals. Speaking of which, we grilled a Nats player. Bunch of questions. Entertainment. I think there's some math in there. There are some sports questions as well. You're going to guess for Defenders tickets as to whether or not the National in question knows the answer to the questions we asked them. If you want to go to the DC Defenders home opener on Sunday with a four-pack of tickets for the fam and the good seats, want to play a little game with us, call us now. We will play next. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. At 5 o'clock, I want to talk about the booing of Bryce Harper yesterday. It's actually our Metropolitan Moving and Storage poll of the day on Grant and Danny. You would think at some point it's going to dissipate, and it just has not happened. The Grant and Danny poll of the day presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage, local, long distance, residential, commercial, 3 decades of best-in-class service and experience. You can go vote over on Twitter right now. Are you like me, and you kind of think the booing of Bryce 8 years later is tired at this point, or do you love it? You think it's still a worthwhile endeavor? But we'll get to that coming up in about a half hour. Danny, it is time to play a game.
Let's do it. I'm not on the hot seat this time.
No, you don't have to worry about anything.
I get so nervous on these.
You get to sit back, relax, put your feet up.
My feet is up.
The game is called Does He Know It? And the player taking part in the festivities today is Alex Call of the Washington Nationals. So the way this is going to work, Dad, do you want to have to make people get 2 in a row or 3 in a row to win the 4-pack of tickets to the DC Defenders?
Let's do 2.
2 in a row?
Let's do 2. We're feeling, you know, generous.
Very generous. Very
Let's be hospitable and generous today. I like that. You're playing for DC Defenders tickets. Congrats. The winner is going to get the 4-pack for their family. Defenders home opener is Sunday, March 30th. That's this Sunday at Audi Field. Atmosphere will be great. There's going to be a red zone home opener celebration. The Defenders are taking on the reigning champs, the Birmingham Stallions. So let's go to, is this Jaco in Reston? Jaco in
Jacob.
Reston? Jacob.
There's a that B is pretty pivotal.
We're missing a B.
Yeah.
I should have just guessed, to be honest with you. Jaco's not that common of a name. But we're fine.
Jaco Malfoy.
Yeah. So, Jaco, you ready to play?
Yes, I am.
All right, here's how this is going to work. We will tell you what question we asked Alex Call, and then you will tell us if he got it right or wrong, and then we will play the audio to see if you were right. Got it?
Yes, got it. Sounds good.
All right, question number one for Alex Call. What actor slapped Chris Rock at the Oscars? What actor slapped Chris Rock at the Oscars?
I believe he knows it.
You do? All right, Let's see if Alex Call is a man of pop culture knowledge.
What actor slapped Chris Rock at the Oscars?
Will Smith.
Boom, yeah. Jaco.
Oh, yeah.
All right, you're halfway to DC Defenders
tickets.
Here we go.
Let's do it.
Did Alex Call know what movie did Denzel Washington win Best Actor for in 2002? Did he know it?
Ah, man. I'm going to say he does not know it.
You know it, Danny.
I do.
That's Training Day.
That's Training Day. Put cases on all you blanks.
How old is Alex Call? I don't think he's old enough to know.
King Kong ain't got nothing on me. Alex Call, I'm going to guess. I'm looking it up now.
29.
I was going to say 28. No, he's 30. Alex Call's 30.
Oh, man.
So he would have, you know, I got to tell you, man, he has seen Training Day.
Might have had a Blu-ray DVD of it in his collection, like Kevin McCarthy. Yeah.
I thought he was younger, so it might throw me off.
All right, so are you sticking with no?
Yes, I want to go with no. Let's see. I'll stick with it.
What movie did Denzel win Best Actor for in 2002?
I don't got it.
2002, Best Actor. I mean, I don't know. Let's go with Remember the Titans. That's my favorite movie.
I love Remember the Titans, too, but it's wrong, and that means Jaco from Reston is going to see his D.C. Defenders this Sunday.
Hey, Jaco.
Congrats, buddy.
All right. Thank you, my dude.
I want you to walk around the stadium telling everyone you're Jaco, by the way.
Yeah, I will. I'll change my name.
Okay. Do like a name tag on Price is Right, like the big yellow one.
That's actually a good point. Legally change your name. Let's do it that way. That would be better.
Just for the show.
Yeah, for us. All right, so Jaco's a winner.
Jaco's
we still
won.
Have one more four-pack of tickets, so whoever gets this, congrats. You're going to see the Defenders Sunday against the defending champs, the Birmingham Stallions. There are tickets available at UFLDefenders.com. Let's go to Cole, who's in Haymarket. Hello, Cole. How are you?
Pretty good, and you?
I'm doing
great,
well.
Cole.
You understand how to play Does He Know It?
Yes.
All right. Alex Call, outfielder, Washington Nationals. Let's go with a tougher one. How about this? Because, by the way, he's been very good at this.
Yeah, so
Alex
far.
Alex Call's, like, knowing some stuff. What Netflix show stars and was directed by Jason Bateman? Cole, do you know the answer to that?
Nope.
Danny, you do.
I don't.
Yeah, you do.
Uh-uh. The show?
The show that Jason Bateman starred and directed on Netflix?
Oh, I definitely watched it. Oh, yeah, I know that one. I know that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I'm blanking on the name now, actually. Ozark.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, I was like,
I thought it was like, there's a new show that's coming out. I was going to know. Okay, I got it.
So, Cole, do you think Alex Call knows that it was Ozark?
No.
All right, let's see if Alex Call knows his TV.
What Netflix show stars and was directed by Jason Bateman?
So, I'm out on that one.
He cut Toby off, by the way.
Enough.
Before Toby even asked the question to say,
hey, bud.
He does not watch Netflix. Does he have something against Netflix, do you think?
So earlier, there was a longer version of that answer. I had to make it shorter, so that's why he kind of cut him off. But he spent, like, probably 30 seconds saying, like, oh, man, what is it? So, because I think he thought it was something from Apple TV. Yeah, he thought it was Ted Lasso.
Oh,
right.
Yeah. Okay.
But then he got his actors mixed up. So.
Mm-hmm. Got it. All right.
Okay.
Good behind-the-scenes knowledge.
There
Thank
we go.
You,
now man. We're caught up. All right, Cole, you ready? You got one right.
Yep.
Okay, here we go.
This is for the tickets. This is
for the
Defenders
tickets.
Game.
Who sings the song Stairway to Heaven? Does Alex Call know that?
I'm going to say yes.
Do I know that?
I know my friend Grant Paulson doesn't know that.
No, I actually think I do, but I'm blanking on the name right now.
Are you?
It's Stairway to Heaven. If you would say it, I would know it. Give me a multiple choice. I 100% get it.
Number one.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. No, not more. We'll do letters. Let's see. Motley Crue.
No.
Def Leppard.
No.
Led Zeppelin.
Yes.
Ozzy Osbourne.
Led Zeppelin.
There you go.
Thank you.
You got it.
I wouldn't have pulled it, but as soon as you said it.
As soon as I said it, yeah.
All right, so
yeah,
does Alex Cole
my answer.
Know it, Cole?
No.
You say no. Here we go.
Who sings Stairway to Heaven?
Led Zeppelin.
Ooh.
Cole. Yeah, oh, you were so close, buddy.
Cole, right there.
That's tough. Alex
Sorry,
Call,
buddy.
In your face. You always got to bet on Alex Call.
He did dunk it a little bit, hang on the rim.
Mark's in Centerville on Grant and Danny. Ready for a little Does He Know It with Alex Call?
Yes. Thank you, Grant.
Yeah, our pleasure. What is the square root of 81? First of all, do you know what the square root of 81 is?
Nine times nine.
Don't over-think it. Yeah, you go.
No?
Yeah.
Believe in yourself there for a second,
just,
Mark.
A little confidence here. You just said it. You got this. You can do this, Mark.
He went 9 times 9. Okay, wait.
It's been a long time since you were in a math class you didn't need.
Oh, no.
I mean,
oh,
what a
God.
Useless endeavor.
There's
all
that.
Math
There's
classes.
That little house over the 81. What am I supposed to do with that?
What was dumber than all the math classes we had to take?
Hey, what's the last time you did a geometric proof? You ever done those?
Sakatoa. What's the square root of? How many degrees in the triangle? Shut up.
Why are you disrespecting Sakatoa?
None of it matters. I'm sure it matters.
It was so helpful.
I'm sure.
Opposite over adjacent, bro.
Okay, so Mark.
Yeah.
Does Alex Cole know the square root of 81?
I'll go ahead and say, I'll say yes.
All right, let's see.
What is the square root of 81?
9.
Nailed
with
it.
Confidence.
By the way, Mark, respectfully, quicker than you got it.
Yeah, I mean, Alex Cole didn't have any hesitation.
He didn't have to do anything. Figures. All right, here we go. Does Alex Cole know? What's the name of Vin Diesel's character in Fast and the Furious? They made so many of these.
Does Mark know, by the way?
Mark, do you know it? It's respectable if you don't, to be honest with you.
Oh, goodness gracious. No, I don't know.
Good for you.
Oh, crap.
It's Dom Toretto, man. His name's Dom Toretto.
They give him a line at a time just to grunt, and then they have other actors say lines. The whole thing is so nuts.
You know what? He's a younger guy. He followed through on all 7 of, I don't know how many movies. I'll say yes, because he kept up with all those movies. I didn't.
Betting on Alex Call. Does he know the name of Vin Diesel's character in Fast and the Furious?
What's the name of Vin Diesel's character in Fast and Furious?
Dominic Toretto.
Full name, too.
He went Dominic Toretto.
Full legal name.
Is Alex Cole my new guy?
It might be.
On the Washington Nationals?
That's your new jersey.
He was tremendous. Mark, you're winning the 4-pack of tickets to the DC Defenders on Sunday at 3.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
You.
Don't thank us. Thank Alex Cole.
You can take 9 times 9 people with you.
Yeah, take or minus 81, minus 70.
Square root of
7, I think. 4 tickets for you and your fam to go to the DC Defenders. All right, we got a couple more questions with Alex Cole, so... Seth in Clarksburg, do you want to play the game for absolutely nothing?
This is for nothing.
Yes, sir.
All right, you win nothing, and you like it, but you get to play. The question we asked Alex Cole, Toby was the man on the scene asking the question, so we thank him. What food chain slogan is "Have it your way"? Do we think Alex Cole knows that answer?
BK, yes.
What food chain
Alex
slogan
Cole,
is
Burger King guy?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Alex Cole. Not, I mean, he's in such good shape. He's got abs. I don't know. Does he know his fast food chain?
I bet you he's aware but doesn't eat it.
Oh, you think so?
You know what I mean?
You've got him.
Yeah.
All right, let's see what he goes.
What food chain slogan is "Have it your way"?
Burger King.
See that?
Yeah.
See how he laughed?
But
like,
why did he laugh about it?
What sort of slob would eat it? That was the laugh.
Do you think that was him?
100%.
Looking down on it?
Yes. That is.
Wow.
Each one of his abs looked further down on those of us that are like, I could use the Whopper.
King. All right. Here's another one for you, Seth. Let's see if you would have won the tickets just to make it even more painful. You ready?
Yes.
Who is Ryan Reynolds married to? And do you know this? What celebrity actress is Ryan Reynolds married to?
Blake Lively. Ugh.
Hell yeah.
Don't you think she's such a good actress, Seth?
She's the best actress.
Sure. Yeah.
Even without sound on, the acting is so good.
He doesn't sound like a big Blake Lively fan. He needs to go back to the drawing
board. No, not really. She's up there with Kirsten Stewart. Whatever. Yeah. Anyway.
So that's a weird
that's
list
not high
you're putting
praise.
Together. All right. Who is Ryan Reynolds married to? You knew it very quickly. Does Alex Cole know it?
Who is Ryan Reynolds married to?
Hold on. Time out. He has to guess.
Yes, he does.
Let's lock in here.
Here we go.
We're just playing a game.
Just playing a game.
Let's let the man answer. What is it, Seth?
He said yes.
Yes.
You think he knows
it? He knows it.
All right.
Who is Ryan Reynolds married to?
Is that still going on with Blake Lively?
Dude, first of all, that's hilarious.
Is that still going on?
Is that still going on? As if to say, are they still together?
Yeah.
Dude, he knows a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Yesterday, we did this with Abrams and James Wood and Jake Irvin. Irvin was pretty good. James Wood was solid. But I think Alex Cole has the most correct answers.
Yeah, the only one he didn't get was Denzel Washington. Remember the Titans.
So far, that's true.
Yeah.
Seth, thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
Yeah, much appreciated. I just want to hear, me and Danny can guess. Do you think he knew what member of the Beatles is still living?
I say no to that one.
Paul McCartney? I'm going to say he does, because he knows a lot of stuff. And he also knew the music question.
What member of the Beatles is still living?
Paul McCartney.
Oof.
Dude, right in my face. Is he brilliant?
He's going to know Baker Mayfield and Goodell.
Yeah, who does Baker Mayfield play for? Yeah. That's the easiest question we ask.
Uh-huh.
Who does Baker Mayfield play for?
The Bucks.
Okay, and he was just so nonchalant. And the commissioner of the NFL, Goodell, I think it's one of those where he's going to have to stumble over his name for a second, but he'll know it.
Who's the commissioner of the NFL?
Goodell.
Not even.
What was he, 10 for 11?
Should we just play trivia with Alex Cole next time?
Seriously.
Damn, he was good. All right, thanks to Tobes for getting that done and Darius for putting all the production together. That was fun. Congrats to the winners. Grant and Danny on the Fan next. The Commanders win total dropped on Bet Online. What do you think it is? We'll get to that. BetOnline released their projected win totals for NFL teams. I know you and I were on the email that they sent out yesterday, and the Commanders were sitting near the top of the board. I was a little surprised by their total. So, first of all, their total's 10.5 wins, which is the highest I've seen a total for a Washington football operation. Should I say in my lifetime?
It has been a while. What was their over-under after...
12.
Griffin in the 2012 year, because people were expectations were wild at that point.
Yes, I would be shocked if they were 10.5, though. I guess it's possible because they'd won 7 straight.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, they didn't win a playoff game.
Well, you and I both know that, but
yeah. But they didn't win a playoff game, and Griffin was coming off of a torn ACL. So I would imagine it was like 8.5 or 9.5. I mean, in-house, everybody around here in the city thought they were going to be great, but there's no way they would have been an 11-win team projected by books. So, yeah, this got to go back to, like, the Gibbs era, probably, in terms of expectations for this team. But how high up are they compared to other clubs?
Very. There are 4 teams that have an 11.5 win total.
All right, let me guess.
Mm-hmm.
Eagles are one.
Yes.
Chiefs are one.
That's one.
Bills?
Yeah.
Not true.
Mm-hmm.
Chiefs, Bills, Eagles, Lions.
No, I was stunned by this. I could not believe the Lions weren't the 4th team.
They didn't have a great offseason so far. AFC, NFC?
AFC.
Somebody I'm forgetting. It was a power. The Chiefs? Not in their division. Ravens?
Yes. That is your 4th. I was surprised by that. Not that the Ravens are an 11.5 win total, but that Detroit wasn't. And, you know, I guess your point's right. But even still, they take a step back to probably 12 wins or something like that, kind of what they've been over the last couple of years. But I digress. Your Washington Local 53, part of the 10.5 club. Not too many teams are hanging out right there, by the way.
That seems too high, by the way. Like, they may well win 10 games, 11 games. Wouldn't be the craziest thing. There's no way I'm putting money on that. You got to bet the under. Like, what is the value? What is the juice on that?
So that I don't have. Just right now, they have the
total. It doesn't tell you what the betting number would be?
Right. Does not tell you that.
Okay. I mean, I could not in good faith pick them to win more than 10.5 games. You're now saying you're clearing 11 with some of the huge questions they still have.
Yeah.
Who's my defensive end? What's my corner room look like? Is Jaden Daniels going to stay healthy or nothing else matters? Are you going to add any speed at running back to hit some home runs? Have you done enough at wide receiver? You know, all of these things, reasonable and normal questions. Every team has a bunch of them. Like, you're still going to be a really solid roster with those questions, and you might win 10 or 11. But they're all reasons why I cannot in good faith say that you are going to go win 12 games this year.
Cincinnati's part of the 10.5 club. San Francisco part of the 10.5 club. And that, by the way, the outlook remains incredibly bullish on a Niners team that has had net losses after a disastrous year.
So the San Francisco one, I'm going to tell you right now, there's where you could maybe hit a bet. Because I don't either... Normally the market's right and I'm wrong. I'll just acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm.
But one of us is very wrong right now. Because while I don't think the 49ers are going to be terrible, they have clearly taken a big step back. And they have blown up their roster to keep Brock Purdy and to be able to pay him.
And they've got a lot of that star core who was... always hurt, yes. and is now much older than when we started this thing a handful of years ago.
I feel like it's a layup drill to take them under 10.5 wins right now.
I think the division's pretty decent. When you start adding Arizona, who's frisky, I think the Rams will be pretty good. I'm not sure what to expect from Seattle, but my bet is they're probably at 8-9, 9-8 type range, which is not, you know, 3-14. They don't have the Raiders to beat up on. I don't see it with San Francisco. But again, really smart people in really tall buildings are the ones that put these things together.
Anybody else in the 10.5?
Detroit, who we mentioned.
Okay, so then the NFC, if we just peel away Washington's conference, Philly's the only team with a projected higher win total.
That's right.
How about that?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's them and the Lions and the Niners all together?
That's right.
I like the Lions probably a little more than the Commanders. I like the 49ers a little less than the Commanders. Who would be the next tier down?
That's your 9.5 win kind of club. That's Green Bay, who I think they're maybe a little bit.
I like that. Minnesota, probably.
Yep. Rams. Minnesota's only 8.5. Because the quarterback question?
That's where Washington should be.
8.5?
Yeah, no. 9.5. Mm-hmm. Like with the Rams in that, the Packers, that's the perfect bucket. And actually, if you told me the projected win total was 9.5, I would say, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. 10.5 feels bullish. And then you see who they're there with, and I go, yeah, they shouldn't be with the Lions.
Because it feels
be basically the Ravens.
Overreaction's the wrong word, but it feels like capitalizing a bit on the, oh my God, this is starting! Like, it's the beginning of the ride, right?
That's what a market is, by the way.
Yeah.
You're trying to get people to bet. You are trying to motivate people and kind of move the needle a little bit, too. And you're preying on, in some ways, the narratives that are out there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Seahawks are 8.5.
They're better than Seattle.
I think so, too. But, yeah, that 9.5 window seems right to me. I mean, Atlanta's in that 8.5 window. And there's a bunch of teams that are right there. But that's most of the league, right, is that between 7 and 9 wins and a field goal makes or misses or a fumble's recovered or it isn't.
And this is all bet online.
Yeah.
I would bet you, though, just hearing all these, this is just my own take, most of these are going to be a game higher, almost to a team, than like what the average market ends up being. When you talk about Seattle at 8.5, that seems too much for me. Who was the 9.5 you said?
Green Bay.
You know, I could see them being a little lower than that. Like almost every single team maybe will end up being a half win or a win lower, possibly. But we got to see how the rest of the offseason goes. Still got an NFL draft coming up. Bryce Harper was booed like he stole something at Nats Park yesterday. We'll get into that next on Grant and Danny.